It's Brett, and welcome to FMW Stories, Episode 6, where today I'm going to go over Mr. Danger, Mitsuhiro Matsunaga. Matsunaga first got into wrestling after reading a book called Introduction to Wrestling, which mainly featured Giant Baba. Matsunaga told his grandma about the book, and she got him to start watching All Japan Pro Wrestling on TV so he could cheer on Giant Baba against the likes of the Sheik. Both Matsunaga and his grandmother would also watch New Japan Pro Wrestling, but they wouldn't know it was actually a different promotion, so his grandma would be confused and ask Matsunaga, why doesn't Antonio Inoki ever come out and help out Giant Baba? Matsunaga didn't really like Inoki, though, as he liked Giant Baba, and once he realized that it was actually two different promotions, he only watched All Japan Pro Wrestling. Although, while he likes Giant Baba, there was one wrestler in All Japan he really didn't like, and that was their top junior heavyweight of the promotion, Atsushi Onita. He could not compare to New Japan's Tiger Mask in Matsunaga's eyes. Matsunaga then began training in martial arts while he was in junior high school. There was no judo club, so he ended up joining the sumo club instead, and he ended up placing in third place in his regional tournament, and he continued doing that throughout high school. High school is also where Matsunaga would end up meeting a fellow student named Akitoshi Saito, who was a very popular swimmer at the school. Both Matsunaga and Saito bonded, as they were both pranksters, and they also loved pro wrestling. Matsunaga would also end up hanging out with delinquents that would end up getting him in trouble, even to the point where he was cautioned by the administration that he would end up being suspended if he didn't quit acting up. Matsunaga would always get out of it, though, by apologizing, saying he was having a hard time with his sumo practice. Saito wasn't that much better, though, as one time Saito ended up hitting a swimmer at a swim meet, and whoops, that swimmer's dad ended up being a member of the Yakuza. A fight between Matsunaga and Saito's high school and the school of the swimmer, which was a Korean high school that Kanemura would end up actually going to a couple years later, would end up being set up at a park, and there would be over 100 teenagers between the two schools at this park ready to fight. But then the cops would be called, and they would come out to try and arrest all the students that were about to fight, and all the kids would start running away. Well, Matsunaga, who was heavy because he was on the sumo club, would end up getting chased down by one of the police officers, and Matsunaga, knowing that he was about to get caught and arrested, did the only thing that he could, and that was act like he had nothing to do with this fight, and tell the cop that some of the kids went that away, and the cop believed him. Despite his bad grades, Matsunaga would end up graduating from high school and getting into a college, where he would begin focusing on karate instead of sumo. And then he would have a near-death experience his first year of college, as he would be driving when a downpour would hit him, and he couldn't see anywhere where he was going on the road, and he ended up driving into a river that had no fence barricading it. Matsunaga's car would splash in the river, and he was stuck. He wasn't deep enough, though, to sink immediately, but he couldn't get the door open when he tried. Matsunaga would then begin headbutting the windshield, but he would just see blood and a small hole was created, which the water would start rushing in even more. And he began to panic and just gave the windshield another headbutt, this time creating a hole big enough to escape from the front. The car would eventually end up blowing up while in the river from the gasoline blowing a fire from the engine. Matsunaga had gotten out of the river and left the scene to call to report the incident on a payphone, but someone had already reported it, and ambulances and fire trucks were already there. Matsunaga would see all this and scream, "I'm sorry, I'm the driver," and the paramedics would come over, and they ended up taking him to the hospital just to be safe, before Matsunaga would end up being checked out, and he would end up just going back to his college dorm that night. Matsunaga luckily just had a cut on his forehead from the incident, and went over to see his old high school friend, Akitoshi Saito, who was also going to the same college as him, and Matsunaga would tell him about the incident. Well, Saito would tell him, hey, I'm meeting up with the swimming club members tonight. Why don't you come with me? And so Matsunaga would join him, and Saito would end up telling the story to all his swim club members, and also end up embellishing the story as well, to the point where Matsunaga had a reputation at the school of being Mr. Danger. Matsunaga, while in college, would be a part of the Karate Dojo, ran by a man that Matsunaga felt like he brainwashed his students. And one of the quests that he had was that Matsunaga would try and kill a cow. So Matsunaga went over to a farm one day to kill a cow by kicking it to death. Although the cow just ended up looking annoyed at him, and Matsunaga knew he was never going to get anywhere with this and ended up just giving up on attacking the cow. Matsunaga would end up quitting college after 2 years, as it was becoming a financial burden on his parents, and his karate dojo instructor told him if he joined his staff, he would get him into New Japan Pro Wrestling, as Tetsutoshi Goto had been a part of the group at the school, and he had gotten into New Japan through the karate instructor. So Matsunaga joined the staff, but after 6 months of expecting for him to help Matsunaga to get into New Japan, he was told he would need to continue working for him for a couple more years before he would help him get into New Japan. So Matsunaga would just quit and return back to living with his parents. Matsunaga, while living with his parents, though, would end up trying to join the promotion that he loved growing up as a kid, and that was All Japan Pro Wrestling. He would find out that All Japan Pro Wrestling was recruiting people near his parents' house, so he went there and was interviewed by Giant Baba about joining the All Japan Dojo. Matsunaga then received a postcard about having another interview at Sumo Hall, but that Giant Baba would not be there for the interview, as he was in Beijing, China at the time. Matsunaga would go to Sumo Hall at the time that the postcard stated, but when he arrived at Sumo Hall, there was a concert instead. All Japan Pro Wrestling was actually running at Budokan Hall that day, not Sumo Hall, so Matsunaga would rush to Budokan Hall, and he would end up arriving late. This time it was Giant Baba's wife, Motoko Baba, doing the interview, and she was not happy about Matsunaga arriving 30 minutes late for it. Keep in mind that this interview was over 4 hours away from Matsunaga's hometown, and someone else could have conducted the interview if she just really didn't want to talk to him for being late. Instead, she ended up just saying, nope, I'm not meeting with you. And so Matsunaga would end up going up to the public relations person and protest that he got bad information on the postcard that was sent out to him. And the PR guy would admit that he screwed up and that he would end up setting up another interview with Matsunaga next time when they were in his hometown. But that interview never ended up happening, and the PR guy would tell Matsunaga, well, I sent in your resume instead to the Babas, and they just straight out rejected you. Matsunaga would then end up getting in touch with an All Japan employee and be told that, well, the real reason they rejected you was just you were too small to join All Japan, not because of the late interview. But Matsunaga believes actually the real reason was after Riki Choshu had left All Japan that the promotion had stopped recruiting people following that, as they were still accepting students the month prior that Mrs. Baba didn't want to talk to him for being late, but the next month afterwards they were no longer accepting anyone. He would then test to join the New Japan Dojo, and he, along with everyone else that day that tried out, would end up failing. So Matsunaga, while still living at his parents' house, would get together with some of his friends and open up a karate dojo there. And he would end up entering into a karate tournament where he would end up meeting Masashi Ayagi, a very famous karate fighter in the karate world, as he was probably the second biggest name at the time and had been featured in numerous karate magazines. Talking to Ayagi that day was like talking to a movie star. And then Matsunaga would end up getting injured in the tournament in the first round and would be knocked out. So he would just sit and watch Ayagi fight and just kick everybody's ass in that tournament. And Matsunaga would end up quitting his dojo that he had started with his friends, and after Ayagi had invited him to join his karate dojo. Then in 1989, the Ayagi group would be chosen by Atsushi Onita and his new FMW promotion to start a wrestler versus karate feud. Onita and Ayagi would feud, with Ayagi bringing in his students to also wrestle in pro wrestling matches, as Matsunaga at this point had become the number two person in Ayagi's karate group. Matsunaga would end up having a nothing match with Billy Mack at the very first FMW show on October 6, 1989, which would be his pro wrestling debut, But less than 2 months after that, he would get a singles match with Atsushi Onita and then participate in the very first barbed wire death match in a tag match that was supposed to be Onita and Goto versus Iyagi and Matsunaga. But Iyagi would end up pulling out due to injury, and the future Jerry Blaman, would take his spot. So Matsunaga would get to be the captain of this heel team and shine more than if Iyagi had been there in the match. Matsunaga loved this time period, though, as he was making $150 a match, which Iyagi was only making $200 a match. And since FNW began touring in December 1989, that was more money than Matsunaga had ever seen. But then Iyagi and Onita had a financial dispute because Iyagi felt like he wasn't getting paid enough, and he would end up quitting, and Matsunaga would be forced to quit FNW as well with him because he was in Iyagi's group. Matsunaga would end up meeting up with Onita on January 8, 1990 at a restaurant by Corrigan Hall, where Matsunaga would tell Onita that he had to leave FNW because Iyagi was leaving, but he didn't want to. And he would actually end up seeing Onita's wallet that day at the restaurant, and he saw that Onita only had $10 in it. Onita was so poor, but he was doing everything he could to make FNW a good promotion and for Matsunaga and all the other wrestlers to make enough money to live off of. So, Matsunaga really came away respecting Onita and thinking highly of FMW. What he did not highly think of, though, was Iyagi making him leave FMW, as Iyagi had reached a deal with another independent promotion, Ryuma Go's Pioneer Sensei promotion, for $2,000 a match, with Matsunaga getting $1,000 a match. So you'd think that would be good money considering Matsunaga was only making $150 a match in FMW, but the problem was that Pioneer Sensei only ran a show every 2 months, so he was really only making about $500 a month. So Matsunaga would tell Iyagi that he couldn't live off this money, and he wanted to go back to FMW. But Iyagi would tell him, you need to look elsewhere, because FMW won't make it a year anyway. He would continue to work for Pioneer Sensei, but he hated it. FMW fans were so energetic, and Pioneer Sensei fans were just laid back, and the promotion just simply wasn't interesting. Then Matsunaga got injured because one of the wrestlers screwed up, and he couldn't wrestle, so he ended up missing a show and not getting paid for it. Then Ryuma Go would end up getting a spot for Iyagi in New Japan, and not Matsunaga. And then the final straw would be that there would be a 10-man tag match for the main event in Pioneer Sensei, and Matsunaga wouldn't even get booked for that match or the show. Meaning, when Pioneer Sensei was finally running a show after 2 months, Matsunaga wasn't even on it and not getting paid for it. Then Iyagi would end up just leaving Pioneer Sensei after getting a spot with New Japan full-time, and Pioneer Sensei would end up just closing down. Akitoshi Saito, who had also joined Iyagi's karate group over the past year or so after Matsunaga helped him get a spot in it, was also working for Pioneer Sensei, so when Iyagi left for New Japan, they both felt like Iyagi had left them in the dust for greener pastures. But then Matsunobu Kurisu, who had been with FNW the first couple of months when Iyagi and Matsunaga were there, he would contact Matsunaga and Saito about joining him and Ken Duke in New Japan, with them accepting that offer. They had a heel group going in New Japan at the time, and they decided that only Matsunaga would be a part of this group because Saito had too much of a baby face to be a heel unless he dyed his hair blonde. Well, Matsunaga would call Saito, and they would both agree to dye their hair blonde together until Saito's family would forbid him from dyeing his hair, and Saito would just end up giving up on joining New Japan as a result. Matsunaga would try his best to try and get Saito to join New Japan without having to dye his hair, but he did not have that power to make them change their mind, and Matsunaga felt like he needed to keep his promise with Saito, even if Saito wasn't going to keep his promise. And he would decide to dye his hair blonde anyway, as he would end up showing up in the New Japan locker room and meet up with Kim Duke and Matsunobu Kurisu with a hat on, and then he would end up taking off his hat to reveal his blonde hair, with Kim Duke not liking it, but Kurisu loved it, and the three of them would form the group the Piranha Army. But just because he grew up in New Japan, Matsunaga would still barely get booked for any matches. He would go on tour for New Japan and only end up working one match against Masashi Iyagi, so again, he was not making enough money to live off of. He went 2 months without making any money, and he had to get a part-time job at a construction site with the hopes that the construction hat that he was wearing would hide his blonde hair, but people still would end up recognizing him. Ayagi then would recommend Matsunaga join the World Martial Arts Wing promotion so he could possibly get booked there, and Matsunaga just stopped hearing from New Japan about ever getting booked again, so when Wing showed up near Matsunaga's hometown in Nagoya for a show, he would arrive to accompany Akitoshi Saito, who had found a spot in the promotion. Matsunaga would then begin working for the original Wing in September 1991, but just a couple months later, the promotion would end up splitting in half between the martial arts side and the wrestling side that I went over last episode. Matsunaga and Yukihiro Kanemura, despite coming in because of their connection with Ayagi and the karate side, would decide that they wanted to stick with Miki Ibaragi's wrestling side during the split, not the karate side, which Akitoshi Saito would choose to go with. So going into the new Wing, another thing I talked about last episode, which was how Miki Ibaragi had high hopes for Mitsuru Takuda to be the ace of the promotion because he had been the first guy Wing signed, and Ibaragi just liked him. Takuda would face off against Dick Murdoch in the semi-main event of the February 9, 1992 Corrigan Hall show for Wing, with the main event scheduled to be Mr. Pogo and Miguel Perez Jr. versus Gypsy Joe and Iceman Ricky Santana, with the idea of Iceman jumping off the balcony during the match to create interest for this new promotion. But ring announcer Tahui Dayo, who had worked for the office, was high on Matsunaga, and he kept pushing for him, so when Santana refused to jump off the balcony, Matsunaga was asked to do it instead, and he agreed and took Ricky Santana's spot in the match, and he would end up diving off the balcony onto the headhunters in the infamous spot. This would not only get Matsunaga the recognition that he had been waiting for, but Akitoshi Saito, his childhood rival and friend, had appeared on the cover of Pro Wrestling Weekly just this past month for having a bloody match in New Japan, and that was a sign that Saito had moved ahead of Matsunaga. But also, this was the sign of a new formation of Wing. The previous Wing, like I talked about, was this weird hybrid of martial arts, lucha, and brawling. But they had just now done something crazier than FMW, the hardcore deathmatch promotion, had done by having Matsunaga jump off the balcony. But sadly, Matsunaga would not make the cover of Pro Wrestling Weekly that week for the balcony dive, although it would be covered in the first couple of pages of the magazine. Wing would run at Corrigan Hall again the next week, with Matsunaga this time losing to Dick Murdoch, but the main event would be a cage death match between Mr. Pogo and Gypsy Joe, with Matsunaga after the match coming in to help Joe against Pogo and dive off the cage onto Pogo to set up a match between Pogo and Matsunaga. Wing had the tagline, "You don't know what's going to happen at our shows," and a new set of fans were now coming in to check out this new alternative promotion to FMW. Matsunaga and Pogo would have a singles match on March 8, 1992 at Corrigan Hall in a Scramble Bunkhouse death match with barbed wire wrapped around a bat for the first time, which ironically Onita the last couple years has taken credit for the idea of that, when it's actually Kanemura who thought of the idea for Wing to rival Onita. And the barbed wire would end up being wrapped around Pogo's body after Matsunaga would hit a missile drop kick from the corner in a great spot, with Pogo showing pain and agony. Pogo would then end up going over and pouring gasoline on Matsunaga's head and then blowing a fireball at Matsunaga, with the referee ending the match right there and giving the win to Pogo in an awesome spot. Hito, who was just a fan at this point, after hearing about the balcony dive, would make sure to attend the show live, as he was becoming a huge Wing fan himself, and this would make him join Wing to become a wrestler after seeing this live. Matsunaga, though, would end up suffering a fracture to his shin bone during the match after diving off the top to the outside, and at his peak of popularity and pretty much becoming the real face of the promotion in just 1 month, he was going to be out of action for 4 months. The plan would be for Matsunaga versus Mr. Pogo in a fire death match when Matsunaga would heal. But in the meantime, FMW would hold their own fire death match, with them putting too much kerosene on the barbed wire, which would eventually burn up, and all the wrestlers having to escape the ring. This was Onita trying to compete with Wing by having an extreme death match, and giving up on trying to do that after having such a dangerous result. Wing would then hold their fire death match, with the show selling out for Wing's biggest show ever, with Mr. Pogo taking on Matsunaga. And like I mentioned last episode, Pogo didn't like having to do the job to Matsunaga, who was only 3 years in the business at this point. And then Pogo would be turning face after the match, and being the number two face behind Matsunaga. I did want to make mention, though, that the only thing I could find about Pogo specifically saying his issues with Matsunaga were that Pogo, at the time, also didn't like that Matsunaga really wasn't that much of a wrestler, as he was more of a trained karate practitioner and never really trained to be a pro wrestler. So Pogo comes to the big show hungover and is just useless all during the match, and they end up having this nothing match with Matsunaga rolling Pogo up for the win in this fire death match. Ironically, Matsunaga would then end up making the cover of Pro Wrestling Weekly for the first time for this match, but the magazine would actually criticize the match and essentially say that Wing was not ready for the big time, and after this show, they came off as just trying to impersonate FMW. Matsunaga was the full-fledged ace of the promotion, though, and he wanted Wing to grow under him. He was even going to TV stations trying to pitch Wing to television networks to air these shows, with them just going, "We can't actually air this stuff on national TV, with the possibility of young children watching this." The structure of Wing just became difficult, as they were also trying to fly in so many foreigners in from the US and Puerto Rico that the debt just began to add up. Wing was financially struggling, and Matsunaga was feeling the pressure of it. He also had resentment towards Pogo for screwing up the fire death match. Then Wing ended up firing Mitsuru Takuda, who was supposed to be the original ace of the promotion, but because he had been passed over by Matsunaga, he had gotten upset and began to no-show Wing events. And Pogo, who was really close with Takuda, he went to the wrestling media about how Takuda needed to be brought back to the promotion. This was the final straw for Matsunaga, though, as they were on the tour bus going to a show, and Matsunaga got in Pogo's face and just began yelling at him about how he was going to the media defending Takuda, who had no-showed these wrestling shows because he was upset that Matsunaga had taken his spot as the ace. Pogo would begin talking back to Matsunaga, and they would begin fighting on the bus, with Matsunaga blaming Pogo and Takuda as the reason that Wing had fallen, as they both had wanted Wing to fail after things had not gone the way they wanted. Only a couple months later would Pogo get an offer by Onita to leave Wing and rejoin FMW. Matsunaga was upset at Pogo about this and would end up going to Pogo's apartment and just banging on the door, which Pogo was actually home at the time, but he just kept quiet because he knew nothing good would happen to him answering the door. Matsunaga would end up writing a note that would say, "I won't forgive you, I'll be back, Pogo," and put that note on Pogo's door. Although later that night, Matsunaga would regret what he did and called and left a voice message apologizing to Pogo. Pogo also feels that Wing had told Matsunaga to do this since he had brought a cameraman with him, and Pogo was more upset at Wing than Matsunaga over this. Matsunaga was also dealing with financial issues, as he was now at a point where he couldn't pay his student loans, and he already was living in an apartment without a bath in it. Matsunaga was getting paid $2,600 a month and asked if he could make an extra $1,000 each time he did a dangerous death match, with Miki Ibaragi telling him no. I went into more detail about this during the last episode, but Matsunaga felt like Ibaragi was just not suited to run an organization, and after Matsunaga's stunt with Pogo, it got Onita's attention, and Onita would call Matsunaga and acted like Matsunaga's issue was with him for Pogo leaving, but Matsunaga had no issue with Onita and actually still liked him from their time in FMW at the beginning, and that his real issue was with Mr. Pogo leaving the promotion. Onita would then call him back and want to have a face-to-face meeting with him in front of the media, but with Matsunaga still being a Wing wrestler, he would decline that offer. Onita would then reach out to Matsunaga again, and this time, Matsunaga would accept Onita's offer to meet up. And when they would meet up, Onita would offer to pay Matsunaga $10,000 for the month, just to leave Wing and hide out. And then Matsunaga would get paid $300 for every FMW show that he wasn't even on. And then, when he would finally appear in FMW, he would get paid $10,000 a month. Matsunaga felt like he had no choice but to leave for FMW, although he still would work two more Wing shows that were sponsored events, and then he would no-show Miki Ibaragi's Corrigan Hall show the next day as his official leaving of Wing. FMW would actually want Pogo and Matsunaga to be known as the Wing Group, but Matsunaga would refuse that since Wing was still an active promotion, so they just instead were called the Pogo-Matsunaga Alliance. Then Matsunaga would finally appear in FMW and come in and attack Onita to set up a match on December 8, 1993 between the top FMW and Wing wrestlers. Matsunaga would also end up paying a dentist $100 to make fangs for him so he could wear them during his matches to make him look more evil, but he would end up biting Mr. Ganosuke's hand in a match, and they would end up breaking as a result. He also wasn't able to speak when he had the fangs in, and had to just sit there and be quiet, so those fangs didn't last very long. Matsunaga would have the match with Onita winning in an exploding barbed wire death match, but a knee injury that Matsunaga had in Wing had continued to bother him for the past year, and so the match wasn't any good, and Onita would get the win, and Matsunaga would turn face afterwards and need to take 3 months off to heal that knee. The babyface turn would not be good for Matsunaga, though. Unless he was teaming up with Onita in the main events, which is rare, he would be on the undercard, and the rule in FMW was no brawling outside the ring before the main event. And so, Matsunaga was just miserable. But he had gotten married, and he couldn't turn down the amount of money that he was making. Then he started back up his rivalry with Mr. Pogo in FMW, as Matsunaga and Pogo had met up at a bar one night after Matsunaga had recently joined back with FMW, and Pogo was drunk and apologized to Matsunaga for screwing up the Wing Fire Death match, with Matsunaga telling him that it was water under the bridge, as he was now nostalgic for his time in Wing, which included feuding with Mr. Pogo, regardless of the negatives that came with it. Matsunaga vs. Pogo would take place on August 28, 1994 in Osaka, and they would put on an awesome match, much better than Onita vs. Ayagi in the main event for the show, with Pogo and Matsunaga making the cover of Pro Wrestling Weekly, which would not go unnoticed by Onita and Tarzan Goto, with Tarzan Goto verbally yelling at Matsunaga for using fire in the match, even though it was Mr. Pogo that used the fire. Matsunaga would be pushed down to the first couple of matches with no push in sight. And so he wanted out of FMW. But Onita told him to just wait until his contract ended, which was after Onita retired on May 5th, 1995 at Kawasaki Stadium. Matsunaga planned on going to IWA Japan, which had started up following Wing closing down. But then right before Onita's retirement, Tarzan Goto had left FMW and he was going to join IWA Japan now. And so, going to IWA Japan and having to deal with Tarzan Goto acting like he was above Matsunaga made Matsunaga not want to go to IWA Japan anymore, as going to IWA Japan was a place to escape someone like Goto and be the top guy of the promotion, which now Tarzan Goto was going to be. So he would decide to stay in the new FMW instead. This would upset the brand new star of FMW, Hayabusa. Hayabusa would meet up with Matsunaga and would be like, "Wait, why are you still here? You should have gone to IWA Japan because you staying here makes no sense." Hayabusa wanted the new FMW to be about wrestling and to get away from the Onita deathmatch style, as Hayabusa just naturally cared more about wrestling than deathmatches, and he knew he couldn't be the deathmatch wrestler Onita was. Matsunaga would tell Hayabusa that he would go along with his idea of this being a straight wrestling promotion for the time being, but being another straight wrestling promotion when there's New Japan and All Japan, and not having the star that the mass audience knows could result in box office death. But Matsunaga would acknowledge that if anyone could prove him wrong, it was Hayabusa with his unique talent, and he agreed that he would leave FMW if he was wrong. So Hayabusa was out there killing himself the first couple of months of house shows. But the house show attendance were what Matsunaga expected, and anything besides Corrigan Hall was pretty much empty. Matsunaga and Hayabusa continued to have their internal fights. Matsunaga had just gotten Leatherface from the Wing promotion hired, and Hayabusa was fine with Leatherface coming in, but he didn't want the Wing monster characters coming in to FMW when Hayabusa is looking to change its image, and that would upset Matsunaga as he had just signed his 1-year contract with the new FMW, and he was willing to quit right away after hearing this and just not work in another wrestling promotion for a year. Eventually, FMW would side with Matsunaga over Hayabusa, and Leatherface, going by Super Leather now, could wear the Leatherface mask, and Matsunaga and FMW would also agree that he could opt out of his contract whenever he wanted. It's also important to note that this new contract with the new FMW also meant a pay cut for Matsunaga, so he wasn't even getting paid the money he made under the Onita FMW that he already wanted to quit with because he wasn't happy and was miserable, but financially just couldn't. FMW also agreed to begin doing death matches once again, which meant to restart the Matsunaga-Mr. Pogo feud, with their first match being a Moonlight Darkness death match at Corrigan Hall, followed by a Fire death match. Then Matsunaga would do a Spike Nails death match with Super Leather, as FMW was just compacting all these death matches that he originally did in just under a month's time. On top of that, Matsunaga only placed 5th out of 8th in the Grand Slam tournament, which included losing to Hayabusa. The frustration with Hayabusa would continue, and Matsunaga had came up with this new deathmatch idea called a barbed wire spider net deathmatch, and he introduced it to FMW owner Shoichi Arai, but Arai would tell him, "You could do the gimmick, but I don't want to offend Hayabusa by having FMW announce it, so you're going to need to announce the gimmick yourself so it doesn't seem like FMW is just gladly promoting new deathmatch ideas." It also didn't help around this time that Kanemura, who treated Matsunaga like an older brother since the first time they had met back in the early Wing days, was getting frustrated with him, and their friendship was deteriorating, which I'll go over later. But the main frustration for Matsunaga was that him and all the other Wing wrestlers were now just this mid-card group, feeling like FMW is treating them all like outsiders, even though they were all contracted wrestlers like everyone else. Hayabusa around this time was also feeling the effects of going all out and doing everything he could on the house shows. And having a heavyweight body while doing all these high-flying, innovative moves, his body began to break down, and he would actually ease up on the deathmatch idea and would actually agree to wrestle the Spider-Net barbed wire deathmatch and put over Matsunaga, with Matsunaga having put over him in the Grand Slam tournament match, which was a singles match, before taking time off to heal his body. Matsunaga was also dealing with issues himself. He began to lose weight due to stress, and it would come out that he had an ulcer. He also was done and just wanted to be finished with FMW after his one-year contract with the new FMW was up after Kawasaki Stadium on May 5, 1996. FMW would then book Matsunaga to take on Cactus Jack in a dream death match at Kawasaki Stadium, but Matsunaga was sour on the idea right away, knowing he was going to lose, and with his health issues, he told them he wouldn't do it. But then FMW PR woman Kaori Higuchi called him and told him that he needed to do interviews to promote the Cactus Jack match, with Matsunaga being like, "I'm not doing that match." She told him, "Yes, you are." And Matsunaga tells her, "Just have Kanemura do it." And she told him, "No, Kanemura isn't at the level that he was at, and only he could do this match." This would piss Matsunaga off, though, as he would go, "Woman, do you even know how sick I am? Even though I am in this match, it's going to disappoint a lot of fans. IWA Japan can have Cactus Jack versus Matsunaga, but FMW can't." She stayed on the phone with him and heard Matsunaga say, "I won't do it. I won't do it." But by the end of the two-hour phone call, Matsunaga agreed to it with the notion that he would never work FMW again afterwards. And then after all that, the match would not end up happening anyway. I told the story on the history of FMW a couple years ago about how because Matsunaga was wrestling a WWF contracted wrestler and IWA Japan was upset about losing Cactus Jack among many other foreigners when Victor Quinones switched back, they called WWF to let them know that their contracted wrestler would be wrestling in a death match against someone with hepatitis C, and they would force Matsunaga out of the match at the last minute, which Matsunaga, when he would meet up with the PR woman, Kaori Higuchi, after the Kawasaki Stadium show, they would end up sharing a laugh as Matsunaga ended up getting his way anyway. Now then, in 1998, Matsunaga is like, of course him having hepatitis is a complete hoax. But then in the 2009 book, he writes the truth about it. He actually did test positive for the antibodies of hepatitis C when he was at the hospital dealing with his ulcer. But they found out about it before it could get to his liver, which could have been deadly. He ended up having to take these expensive pills, and all the FMW wrestlers had to get tested for it as well, as Matsunaga would say that other FMW wrestlers tested positive for the antibodies as well, although he didn't list any names, and I don't know of anyone in FMW that slowed down on the bleeding afterwards. Matsunaga says that after 10 years, even the antibodies are now gone from his body, and he is completely free of it, even though he still has to test for it the rest of his life out of the fear of it relapsing. So at this point, Matsunaga pretty much feels like he is just done with wrestling. He had started working on his new career of learning how to be a professional cook and make steaks, and that would be his focus from now on. Until Shoji Nakamaki, who had worked with Matsunaga in Wing, called him up and was like, "Hey, why don't you come and join Big Japan with me?" Matsunaga wasn't interested though, but then he heard about how Big Japan was looking to bring in a bear to wrestle, with Matsunaga agreeing to join after hearing that. Matsunaga would meet up with Great Kajika, the Big Japan president, and was like, "I'm not signing a contract with Big Japan, but I want to fight a bear that you're looking to bring in." Matsunaga would end up staying at the dojo after that conversation. He talked with some of the younger wrestlers like Ryuji Yamakawa, who would show Matsunaga the bear video, and it was just the bear working a wrestling match, which is not what Matsunaga was thinking it would look like. The more Matsunaga thought about it, he realized he couldn't actually kick a bear, or else it would be considered animal cruelty. And then when he brought it up to Kajika, Kajika told him, Yeah, I wouldn't kick a bear anyway, as it would break your leg if you did that. Big Japan also was already getting protest calls from the American Welfare Association, so Kojika during the meeting was having to deal with those phone calls, so Matsunaga decided to just hang out with the Big Japan young boys, and he really enjoyed the atmosphere, and agreed to work for Big Japan anyway, if only for him to be able to recapture his Mr. Danger name. He would end up getting to do deathmatch gimmicks in Big Japan that he could never do in FNW. A construction site, scaffold deathmatch, a piranha deathmatch, a scorpion deathmatch. Matsunaga also wanted to do a crocodile deathmatch because he owned a crocodile, and he wanted to use it in a match with the muzzle over it, but the crocodile would actually die the day before it was supposed to happen. And then about 8 months later, he would end up having this match with a baby crocodile, and it would not be very much. It would be just Matsunaga picking up the crocodile with a muzzle over it and just throwing it into a coffin for the win. So Matsunaga would get the crocodile deathmatch, although it wasn't what he originally planned for it to be. Matsunaga would have issues with Great Kajika, though. The first one would be after Matsunaga would be offered $10,000 to lose to Dan Severn easily in a shoot fight match in a minute, with Kajika telling him he could not work the fight. And Matsunaga doing it anyway, as that $10,000 would help him fund his steakhouse that he was going to be opening up in April 1997. Then 2 months later, Great Kajika would end up getting in touch with New Japan and work out a deal to get Big Japan some notoriety, and that would be by having a series of New Japan vs. Big Japan matches for the January 4th, 1997 Tokyo Dome show. Problem was, though, that New Japan pretty much just wanted to show that the deathmatch workers of Big Japan stood no chance to the actual wrestlers of New Japan, and so you saw Masahiro Chono squash Shoji Nakamaki on the show, and Masa Saito would end up easily defeating Great Kajika as well. Well, the original plan was for Matsunaga to take on the Great Muta for this show, and Matsunaga knew that he was going to be made to look like a joke and get squashed by Muta, and he refused to do it. No one else was allowed to say no to Kajika about participating, but Matsunaga told Kajika that if he was made to wrestle at the Tokyo Dome, he will literally have to kill Muta instead of get squashed by him. So Kajika allowed Matsunaga to not have to wrestle.
He would continue to work for Big Japan throughout the years,
although him starting his restaurant, his Mr. Danger Steakhouse, became his top priority. Again, he'd still work Big Japan time to time into 2001 as they were having an angle with the CZW promotion from America. And this feud between Big Japan and CZW was the top priority of the promotion, and Matsunaga just could not stand the CZW leader, John Zandig. Zandig would get the CZW guys to just boycott their matches if their opinions were not heard exactly the way they wanted them to be for their matches, and Matsunaga was pretty much just done with Big Japan by this time, as they were heading into their big Yokohama Arena show on December 2nd, 2001, with Zandig booking himself to win the Big Japan Deathmatch title against Matsunaga before announcing that CZW was going to be leaving the promotion. Matsunaga himself was just done at this point and would walk away thinking that he was not only done with Big Japan, but wrestling in general. The only saving grace for Big Japan in Matsunaga's eyes was that Big Japan refused to pay the CZW guys after they all quit following the Yokohama Arena show, with Zandig even going to Big Japan the next month and requesting their pay and Big Japan just refusing him. There was another reason Matsunaga felt like he was done with pro wrestling, though, and that was because of Hayabusa's career-ending injury in October 2001 that scared him and made him think twice about wrestling. Although the retirement in his mind would not last long at all, because former Wing Ring announcer Dio would begin promoting his own shows, and Dio was always the guy that was trying to get Matsunaga pushed in Wing to Ibaraki. So Matsunaga, of course, ended up working his show and would continue to work semi-regularly for the next couple of months. I also wanted to make mention that Matsunaga, who pretty much hated Hayabusa during the new FNW time in the mid-90s because of everything that was going on, was very upset when finding out about Hayabusa's injury, and when he heard that Hayabusa was asked of what he thought of Matsunaga, and Hayabusa responded that he thought Matsunaga was a friend of his, any of those hard feelings he had going forward for Hayabusa were gone after that point, and they did talk online after that, with Matsunaga sending Hayabusa books that people had written that had made full recovery from similar injuries that he had dealt with. Matsunaga still had hard feelings towards most of the other wrestlers during that new FMW time period. He also agreed to work with Kanemura for the Daiho-promoted show, with Matsunaga defeating Kanemura in a wing-style deathmatch with all the old wing-style stipulations in one match, including turning the lights off during it, and Matsunaga would end up diving off the second level of the building onto Kanemura. This was Matsunaga's closure with Wing and Kanemura in a way. Matsunaga and Kanemura pretty much have a broken relationship at this point, and they've had it for a while. Jado and Ghetto, prior to Wing, were friends with both Kanemura and Matsunaga, so when Kanemura met Matsunaga for the first time, he already thought very highly of him because Jado and Ghetto were so positive of him. Then you add in that they both had that connection with Ayagi, and that's how they both ended up in Wing, yet both chose to go the wrestling route and go with Ibaragi's Wing instead of the martial arts side that never became anything. And they were pretty much brothers, with Kanemura pretty much feeling like Matsunaga was his older brother. They would hang out, watch wrestling tapes together while in Wing. The first break in their relationship, though, was when Matsunaga left Wing for FMW for the money, which was essentially the death knell to Wing, and Kanemura was really upset at Matsunaga about that, but Kanemura still tried to get Matsunaga to join IWA Japan when Matsunaga was getting paid a lot but miserable in FMW, although it wouldn't be much longer before Kanemura would get upset at IWA Japan and leave it for FMW, which would not go unnoticed by Matsunaga. They worked together in the Wing faction, but the relationship and friendship really wasn't the same, and Kanemura was getting sick of Matsunaga's salty attitude. 5 years ago, when I interviewed Kanemura and talked to him about Matsunaga, he brought up the FMW vs. Wing War Games cage match on February 23rd, 1996 at Corrigan Hall, which Kanemura thought was this great hot match, which it was, but he made mention that Matsunaga was so upset and hated the match so much so that afterwards he ended up grabbing some dumbbells in the locker room and just throwing them all over the room, screaming how shitty that match was. Kanemura also isn't a fan of Matsunaga's attitude of being this straight shooter, and I'm gonna tell the truth about everything, but then he throws in these lies for his own benefit, which again, his 1998 book says, of course I don't have hepatitis C, and of course that was a hoax, and then a decade later, he's admitting, well, I actually did have the antibodies of it. When Matsunaga started working for Zero One in 2005, he did not want to be on any show that Kanemura was also on, so the relationship, like I said, was pretty much over after that wing-style match they had in 2002. Although in 2008, after Kanemura got in trouble with his sexual harassment scandal, they did talk on the phone, with Matsunaga telling Kanemura that he needed to listen to his advice, with Kanemura being respectful on the phone to Matsunaga, and he ended up listening to him. Matsunaga also did appear at Kanemura's retirement ceremony in 2016 with Kanemura hugging him, but I have to imagine that was just for the cameras, because Kanemura, over the last couple years on my History of FMW Facebook group, anytime I write anything about Matsunaga, he responds with an angry face emoji, so at this point I don't see them ever being friends again. Kanemura would not be the only Wing wrestler that would have a broken relationship with their former leader, though, as Hito got very upset as well, and like I mentioned earlier, Matsunaga was the reason that Hito chose to become a wrestler and start wrestling in Wing. They had worked some insane death matches in 2002 that got some attention because of what they were willing to do to each other. But then there was a falling out between the two, which Matsunaga would not go into details why, but he would just say that it was too boring to even talk about. But when Hito found out that Matsunaga was going to be giving up on death matches, he called him and was like, let's have one more match together.
This upset Matsunaga, who said if it had been a couple years ago, because it was Hito, he would have had as many matches as he wanted with him. But you wait until you hear I'm retiring from death matches to ask me for one more? Hito would get pissed off at that response and say, nobody wants to work with Matsunaga anyway, and Matsunaga would start yelling at Hito about how he would just vanish from pro wrestling for years at a time and not tell anyone about it, which is true, although they were health-related reasons. Matsunaga would follow that up by saying that he thought Kanemura was a jerk, but Hito was even a bigger jerk than him, and it upset Matsunaga that Hito would act like this. I believe they did somewhat make up, though, before Hito's passing, as Hito did end up showing up at Matsunaga's steakhouse in 2019, and they took a picture together, which was the last public picture that Hito would ever take before his passing 2 years later due to his failing health. Just to kind of finish things up, that final death match that Hito got upset about was against Shinjiro Otani in 01 in 2008. Matsunaga was getting older. The hepatitis C antibody stuff always stayed in his mind. His wife, whenever he would do a death match, had to take medication because she was so nervous for him. And then this death match that he was going to have with Otani, where Matsunaga had came up with the idea for the death match gimmick of it being a steel cage, glass rain, hell, iron ball death match, was not selling tickets at all.
So he would announce that the match would be his final death match, with the tickets picking up after that announcement.
Matsunaga would choose Otani as he felt like he could have a serious match with him and not look weak, even though he was going to lose in it. A little over a year and a half after his final death match, Matsunaga would announce that he was going to retire, and he had always wanted his final match to be with his longtime friend Akitoshi Saito, but he also wanted it to be Saito's final match as well, but then he realized that he wasn't going to make it for Saito's last match, which was probably a good call, as it's going on 14 years since Matsunaga's retirement, and Saito is still wrestling. Although it was against his longtime high school and college friend Saito, and Saito would end up getting the win in the match, the retirement seemed kind of out of place being in Pro Wrestling Noah, a promotion that Matsunaga had no connection with, as it was Saito's home promotion. Although at least there were some fans, as Matsunaga was exiting by the aisle, that presented him with flowers while holding up a winged flag, so at least there was some type of connection. Otherwise, he was just an unknown wrestler to most of these fans in the crowd. And that would be it as far as Matsunaga's pro wrestling career. He still runs a very popular Mr. Danger Steakhouse, which actually now has two stores. And that pretty much every foreigner wrestler that goes to Japan goes there and gets their picture taken with him.
I've been to both Mr. Danger's and Ribera's Steakhouse multiple times, and I would say that Mr. Danger's is much better.
Having gone through both of his books there, I do have a newfound respect for Matsunaga, even though I already had an incredible amount of respect for him already as a deathmatch wrestler. I got to see another side of him that I just couldn't see watching tapes of his matches. Although he's far from a perfect man, but he is someone that I do appreciate his way of telling the truth, even though not everybody would agree that it really is the truth. Although he's definitely not a boring person. And that is it for today, guys. Thank you so much for watching. If you want to go to my website, it's bahufmw.com or fmwwrestling.us. I have news, results, biographies, just pretty much anything FMW and any promotion that followed FMW is covered on that website. Also, if you want to watch my YouTube videos, Bret FMW, where I have all 50 History of FMW episodes up there, as well as all 6 of these FMW Stories episodes with videos to go along with what I'm talking about, as well as career history music videos of a bunch of the FMW wrestlers, including Matsunaga as well. Also, if you want to just listen to these shows in audio format on your phone, you can search History of FMW on all the podcast websites, Stitcher, iTunes, all those sites. All these episodes are up there, as well as all 50 History of FMW episodes as well.
And that is pretty much it. Thank you guys so much for watching. I'll see you next time. Bye.